turn on the twirl. I turn on the twirl. I turn on the twirl.
.7 The Voice, where it is time once again to turn on the twirl. Good afternoon. This is Twirl, the finest music from the rock era. I'm Mike Lidskin, and you're listening to Sacramento's community radio station, The Voice, 88.7 here in Sacramento, California, and wherever you are at twirlradio.com. Did you miss me last week? I missed you. I was in Los Angeles. I was not here, but we played a classic episode of Twirl Radio. Big new show today because we're chatting with Hillary Burton of Honeychain. I cannot wait. She's in Los Angeles, and we're going to chat with her, well, probably in about 4 minutes from now. We're going to start the show with one of her brand new songs, Lucky One, off the Honeychain EP, Futura. The Voice and Honeychain and Lucky One off the brand new EP Futura, and all the way from Los Angeles, which is really not that far. You can get there in about 6 hours. I've got Hillary Burton right now on Skype. Hillary, how are you?
Hey, I'm great, Mike. Thanks a lot for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. You know, I've met you a couple years ago, about 2.5 years ago, at Adam Waltzmeyer's Rock on the Road Festival in Orange County. You were playing with Nushu at this fantastic, huge stage, perfect weather, and I have never had you on the show, so I am here to atone for my sins. Welcome to Twirl.
Well, this is a good time because the Honeychain EP just recently came out, so your timing is actually perfect.
Awesome, awesome. And, you know, I had a sneak preview of that because you helped us out with our Superstorm Sandy Relief Radiothon. Gidget calls it a telethon, but I don't have the fancy bells and whistles, so it's just a radiothon here.
Right.
But you snuck Then You, and I knew you were on the verge of greatness. So first of all, thank you for your help all these years. You've helped us over the last couple of years with our charitable efforts. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, no, thanks for including me and the different projects that I've been participating on at the time.
Oh, absolutely. And then got to hear a sneak preview of Honey Chain. And first of all, where does the name come from?
Well, it happens to be my most favorite song that was actually released and recorded by Throwing Muses. Back in, I guess, on the Real Ramona, I think it was 91 when that was released. So I love the song. I love Tanya. I love the Muses. I love Tristan. And it's my music publishing name, so I've had it for a while.
Oh.
And when I was trying to think of names for this particular project, because it was initially just me going into the studio to record these songs, these five songs on the EP, and playing all the instruments and not kind of knowing what I was going to do after that, if I was going to do solo, if I was going to put together a band, or what, I wanted to have something that can kind of fit all of those different pieces of the pie, and so that's where it came from.
Interesting. Yeah, so you had flexibility in mind. Now, there's an interesting quirk to the name Honey Chain, and I've seen you reference this online, but it's always spelled with lowercase, so why is that?
Yeah, I'm a little OCD about that. I don't know. For me, the capitalization of it kind of belongs to the song, and, you know, I felt I'm, you know, wanted to keep it somewhat separate in a way, and that's why I do the lowercase, but I learned kind of the hard way that there are certain naming conventions out there that things like, you know, CD Baby use, where it's going to be uppercase. So if you ever see it capitalized, that's not me. That's not me losing my OCD. I'm still very OCD about it being lowercase, but that's why.
That's awesome. I think there's a little bit of humility there, too. I mean, you
exactly.
Just,
thank you. That's the word.
That's the impression I get. But we'll call it OCD. You know, I like to consider myself a little bit OCD as well. You know, things just need to be right. And, you know, I get that. Now, where the name for the EP Futura come from?
I used to have a 1965 Ford Falcon Futura convertible, red on red, 289 C4 automatic transmission. I could go on and on and on and on.
Holy cow.
Which was my baby for a long time. And it's also the car featured on the cover of New Shoes' Hula CD.
I'm staring at it right now. That's what I was going to ask you.
Yep,
yes.
Yep, that's it. But, you know, I got to a point where it wasn't really as practical in my life anymore, and so I ended up actually trading it for recording time. But I had always kind of envisioned that the next thing I recorded, I wanted to name Futura. And these songs, as I was developing them and putting them together for this five song EP collection, just kind of fit that. And then, you know, from there, it was then thinking about the artwork for the EP and what did I want to communicate with it. So it all just kind of fit together. But initially, it's based off my car.
Well, that's pretty cool. It makes a lot of sense. You know, it's funny because New Shoe and now Honey Chain, they have that same kind of sound. I mean, I could picture listening to any of these songs in a red convertible driving along the beach in Southern California.
Right.
You know, it got an energetic sound. Aside from Tanya Donnelly, Throwing Muses, and I know you like Belly. I've played Belly on the show here before. Who else would you count among your most important musical influences?
I guess growing up and initially kind of being inspired and wanting to then learn how to write was, I guess, really influenced by things I heard on the radio. And luckily, living in Los Angeles, I was fortunate enough to be able to get some really cool radio programs to listen to. I remember being like 11 and getting a transistor radio, and every weekend I would stick it under my pillow so I wouldn't get in trouble, and I'd listen to Rodney.
Yes.
And, you know, be able to hear like all these great, you know, bands that influenced me, everything from, you know, early Go-Go's, Blondie, the Ramones. I mean, I could go on and on and on. I was a huge kind of Blondie and Pretenders fan when I was kind of in elementary school. I know that sounds silly. Some of my kind of favorite bands are Letters to Cleo.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I love the Muffs, obviously. I love some of my friends' bands right now, like Ingenue, I really, really like. So anyway, but in terms of like actual like influences, it's not so much even individual bands as it is songs or elements of songs that really kind of, you know, make me say, oh, that's really cool. Like I was just listening to Joan Jett's version of Crimson and Clover. And I can listen to that over and over and over and over again because the vocals on that are just like, oh my God, they just like are so awesome. So, you know, there's certain elements of things that, you know, I can just be influenced by. And I'm rambling, so feel free to cut me off.
No, this is great. And, you know, a couple things there. Number one, you know, I heard Crimson and Clover. I'm a few years older than you because the bands you liked in elementary school, I was in high school at the time. So I kind of get that we're kind of on different ends of the same era. When I first heard Crimson Clover, I thought that was a Joan Jett song, and I don't know about you, but I get pleasantly surprised or sometimes shocked when I hear that it's a cover, and then you got to go back and dig to find out what the original sounded like.
Right. And yeah, exactly. And I played a party once a long million years ago and had to sing that song and play drums at the same time. And it's not an easy song to really sing. It's anyway, but I digress. But yeah, those are a lot of influences.
Interesting. And then, of course, the Rodney on the Rock influence. I also grew up in Los Angeles and I've been away for like 25 some odd years.
So
I used to listen to Rodney on the Rock. And did I see you post somewhere that you've been played on his show now?
Yeah, I mean, I've been played ever since the first time he played me was when I was 15, and then he played, obviously, New Shoe, and then he's played a couple tracks off of the Honey Chain EP, Futura, I think 3 or 4 times, I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, so that's, you know, much appreciated, because I know that, you know, the folks that listen to his program are, you know, aficionados or love music for, you know, indie music, I guess.
Yeah, and he's been pretty influential. Didn't he own a club on the Sunset Strip back in the 60s or something like that? I mean, he goes way back.
I way before my time, but yes.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. So it's kind of a dream come true. So what were you doing when you were 15 that got you airplay on the radio?
It was just the first band that I was in a million years ago.
Oh, cool. That's very cool.
Yeah. But I mean, it's kind of cool that it's come full circle, and now, you know, he's still playing stuff that I've written and recorded. So that's bitchin'.
And I'm old enough to know that term too. So yeah, cool. So you've been making music since you're very, very young. What inspires your songwriting?
A lot of different things. Like, I think you just played Lucky One.
Yeah.
And, you know, that it's they all come from different places, but that one, I think I had seen like a program or something. And it was just, I mean, that's kind of my anti-war song, but it's played kind of in a poppy, punky poppy way with, you know, kind of a melody that isn't really an angry melody.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to be, but I was feeling just kind of like affected by what was happening. And I wanted to kind of understand how I could write a song about it. But the best way for me to do that was to kind of put myself in the place of somebody who was having their husband kind of come back, and kind of what would that feel like to me? And also because it kind of makes me really angry that, you know, oftentimes coming back in one piece or at all seems to turn on luck. And so that's where Lucky One came in to be the title. But, you know, I didn't want it to sound like a political, you know, statement or anything like that. I just wanted to write it from an emotional point of somebody who's having their loved one come back.
And I think people across the board can relate to something like that. That's really, again, versatile. I'm getting this thread that you're versatile in your thinking in terms of songwriting and in instrumentation, arrangement, all that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, and I appreciate you kind of picking up on that or having that perspective, because that's kind of the thing that, you know, when on this particular EP, I played all the instruments, and so I had to write all these different parts and kind of somewhat schizophrenically think about how they would all fit together at the same time. And, you know, which the cool thing about that is that you have kind of the ultimate freedom, I guess, to choose and select and define, but you also have to be, you know, aware of you know, trying to not become too schizophrenic in the process.
I understand that. I'm not a musician, although I'm a first-rate musician. I've tried many things but didn't stick with it, you know. But I'm amazed and impressed that you've played everything yourself. How does it go when you produce something where you're the solo musician and you do all the parts? How do you put something like that together?
Well, you have to be patient and realize it's going to take a little bit longer. But that said, I must say, I'm very proud of the fact that this, you know, 5-song EP was recorded like in 6 sessions.
Wow.
So, you know, we didn't want to spend a lot of time kind of trying to perfect anything necessarily. It was just kind of get in there, do it, figure it out, feel it, move forward. And most songs, it's usually I put down the drum tracks. And what's really weird is sometimes I'll just, because I know the songs in my head, I'll just play the entire drum part and start making things up as I'm kind of singing or hearing the guitars in my head, and just kind of play along that way. And other times, maybe I'll do just one scratch guitar, because I want to feel the guitar as I'm playing the drums. So it kind of just depends what the song calls for, what the day calls for, what the mood calls for. And then, you know, what's really interesting as well is that a lot of what you hear on the record is actually the scratch vocal.
Because,
you know, usually I put a scratch vocal down and then come back and it's okay, today's vocal recording day and I'm going to be in my vocal recording head and that's what I'm going to focus on and, you know, get myself all amped up. But that didn't happen this time. It was kind of like, the scratch vocal sound, you know, kind of cool. Maybe we'll go with that. And so I was like, really? But yeah, it ended up kind of, you know, working out for the better, and which was really brought to light when Michael Eisenstein kind of mixed the CD, and I was like, holy crap, that sounds great.
I can imagine. I mean, I guess what's good about that, since you are the sole musician, songwriter, and producer, it's good to have that second set of ears just for confirmation at least.
Yeah, yeah. And Steve Reffling, whose studio I recorded it in, has always been, you know, really good as well in terms of helping to capture the sounds that we're looking for and the things that are, you know, that maybe I can't verbalize. He understands what I'm going for in a lot of ways, particularly when it came to the guitar sound, because we actually collectively built kind of created a guitar for this record. It's a one-of-a-kind sound because of a one-of-a-kind guitar. It was an old beat-up Stratotone that he actually salvaged from like a trash can, a dumpster in Venice, and started like stripping it and was going to do something to it. And then I was like, oh, I have this humbucker. And so we talked about just like putting this a special kind of pickup. So we put this humbucker in this guitar and they got this sound where it's really like crunchy, but it doesn't have a lot of sustain. So you get this really cool, like we call it the peeling paint off the wall sound.
yeah.
So that was cool.
Is this the guitar that's pictured on the album artwork?
It is. It is. It is. And that's why, you know, you can see it's just beat up.
Yes, I'm looking at it now.
Yeah, but it works well with the theme of kind of the photos as well that we went with.
That's pretty cool. I'm here with Hillary Burton of Honeychain, and why don't we take a quick break and listen to another song off the Futura EP. What would you like to hear, Hillary?
Let's go ahead and hear Two Fools.
Okay.
It's kind of right there smack in the middle of the CD.
That's right. You can't get more in the middle than number 3 out of 5. So here we are with Hillary Burton. We're going to hear Honeychain and Two Fools here on Swirl. 101.7. The Voice and Honey Chain featuring our guest of the hour, Hillary Burton, and we heard the song Two Fools. Now, Hillary, this project, as you were saying before, started out as a one-woman show, but it quickly expanded to a full band. So who else is in Honey Chain now?
Yeah, I'm very, very, very fortunate that I have been able to have some really cool friends and musicians join the band so that we are now an official band. We've got Emma Jensen, who is on bass and backup vocals, and then John Borak is playing drums.
Yay, John.
Yay, John. And then we have a new guitar player named Milan, and he's really cool. So we've had we're in our infancy stages of kind of putting together our sound going forward for live shows that we plan to put on this summer for sure. But yeah, it's really cool because the great thing about, you know, this band is that we're all friends and work together well and all have similar types of influences. And so I've been very, very lucky and fortunate to have them want to come play my songs with me.
And that'll probably come through when you're on stage. That's fantastic. So what gigs do you have upcoming? This is exciting. As the weather warms up, you are getting ready to go out and play.
Yeah, we have a couple things lined up in terms of dates that I can talk about. One is that we're going to be playing actually an acoustic show. When is it? June 22nd, a Saturday. And we'll put all this information on our Facebook page and Twitter as those dates approach. But yeah, we're going to be doing a fun acoustic show in Pasadena in June. And then either some shows in June or July. First off, as part of the International Pop Overthrow Los Angeles Festival, which is going to be taking place the end of July and early August this year.
Nice.
And that date and location to be determined. Okay. But we are also going to be playing, I think you mentioned early on that, you know, you came and we actually met a couple years ago when you came to see one of the shows at the Orange County Fair. And we're going to be doing that again. And I think the date is August 11th. And those are always super fun shows, as you know, you got to see one. But it'll be super fun to do it with Honey Chain.
Yeah.
You know, I can't wait. So that'll be cool. And speaking of kind of that show, as you know, that's put on by Adam Baltimore with Pop Garden Radio. And that I do want to give a quick shout out to the DJ friends out there, Adam being one. Yay. And then there's Michael McCartney and Summer Blue back in Maui. And, of course, Gidget and all the folks over at Woody Radio who've been very supportive. And there's tons of DJs out there. I mean, I know I'm missing a bunch of folks. And I just want, you know, everybody to know that it's much appreciated because, you know, that's where I like to hear music. And so thank you for including Honey Chain.
Absolutely. And they're all good friends of mine as well, mutual friends. And yes, you know, they are really good DJs. I listen to their shows as well. I want to thank you for the great music because, you know, if it weren't for music, you know, your great music and all the other great musicians I play, well, it would just be a talk show. That wouldn't be too exciting. So,
right.
So real quickly, because we're actually coming to the end of the segment here.
Okie doke.
What is your contact information? How can my listeners find out more about Honey Chain and purchase your music?
Well, you can find us on CD Baby. You can find us on iTunes, Amazon. What's really cool is I've been getting contacted by some friends, some new friends, fans that turn into friends from Japan.
Wow.
Who have been buying the CD through Amazon in Japan. And so that's really cool. So, I mean, all the normal kind of outlets. We're also on Bandcamp. If people want to learn more, they can just simply go to honeychainmusic.com. And they'll be able to learn a little bit more. And you can find us on Facebook and all those other normal channels. But I would suggest honeychainmusic.com. And you know, it's $4 for digital download of 5 songs. And that includes when you go into Bandcamp, you get all the artwork files as well, which I think are kind of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a tactile girl. I like to actually hold the CDs in my hand. But, you know, for those that like the digital method, you can actually get the download with the artwork these days.
I'm with you. I mean, obviously it's a modern world, but yes, I like the actual tactile disc as well. Hillary Burton of Honey Chain, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on Twirl Radio.
Yeah, no, thanks again for, you know, having me. I really appreciate it. And thanks to all the listeners out there and all my friends that are listening today and all the friends that are, you know, going to hopefully be able to hear some new music by checking out our EP, Futura, by Honeychain.
Awesome.
At honeychainmusic.com.
Awesome. And we've only got a little bit of time left, so we're going to play part of one of your songs. Which one should
okay.
it be?
Easy to Forget.
There you go. Honeychain.
I like the guitars.
Honeychain, Easy to Forget. Hillary Burton. Thanks, Hillary.
Bye.